Go to Matthew 13:22. Matthew 13, verse 22, we're going to start at. Hallelujah. Oh, the word is good. We got to put value on the word of God, right? How many of you know we as Christians and we as a local church, we're in the business of building faith, not tearing it down. Amen? Amen. We're here to build each other up in the word. Amen? Here we go. Matthew 13, verse 22. Jesus said, "Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Now go with me back to the book of Joshua. If it sounds like I'm panting up here like a dog, it's because it's hot up here. I feel like I'm preaching in the desert of Arizona, a dry and thirsty land. Amen. Here we go. Joshua 1:8, very popular verse. And it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then," say then, "you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Last week, I talked about the parable of the sword. You guys remember it? Good, you thought about it, right? You meditated on it. All right, the parable of the sower. And I want to take a little piece of that, of what I preached last week, and I want to do a continuation. The Holy Spirit illuminated some points to me that were powerful here, so I'm going to be dropping some revelation bombs on you. But I talked about how the seed of the Word of God can fall on our heart, right? That's the soil. And it says, Jesus said, it's possible to hear the Word and not to understand that Word. In other words, what you're hearing, what you're reading, what you're being taught, it's possible not to understand it. You ever had that before in your life? You heard something, you read something in the Word, like, I don't understand. Ooh, thank you. Oh my, I'm going to preach like this. So if, listen, and so Jesus revealed to us in this parable, the enemy can use that vulnerability of a lack of understanding and steal the seed that was planted on top of the word, all right? But I said this, I said the main problem isn't really not understanding the word. That is a problem, because Jesus said that's the problem. That's not the main issue, though. The main issue is that the person who doesn't have understanding of what they heard or what they read in the word is that they're not pursuing the truth. They're not, of studying the word. They're not getting into prayer and seeking understanding. That's when you fall into danger. Are you following me? Okay, so it's not bad if you have a lack of understanding, but you got to search it out, all right? So we're supposed to get wisdom, like that in Proverbs said, that verse in Proverbs, that we are to get wisdom, we're to get understanding, and how many of you know that takes time and effort, doesn't it? Right. Well, how many of you know we all have homework to do with God, right? It's not just listening here and then go on your merry way and forgetting about him, right? No, we're supposed to get into the word. We're supposed to seek for understanding and get wisdom, get understanding. So, like I said, this message is kind of a continuation of what I started last week. Now, here's where I want to start this thing. Listen to this. There is one thing that is more dangerous, all right, to a Christian than not understanding what's being spoken. Or what you're reading in the Word of God, okay? Or what you're hearing from a sermon. Here's the thing that's even more dangerous of not having understanding. Are you ready for this? Forgetting the Word of God. Say forgetting the Word of God. That's what we don't want to do, all right? We don't want to forget the word that was sown on the soil of your heart, all right? The danger of a lack of understanding isn't found within just simply a lack of understanding, because that can be corrected. That's why I said that a lack of understanding, yeah, it's an issue, But it's not an issue that can't be corrected. It can be corrected by you seeking it, right? Now, there's the greater danger. The main danger is forgetting the Word of God. That's a whole different level where the enemy, you're opening the doors to the enemy. So today I want to talk about the danger of forgetting the Word of God and how the enemy attacks us in that process. So the title of this message is simply this, Forget Not. Say, forget not. Last week, I talked about how it's our responsibility to take the seed of the word that's sown on our heart and to take hold of it and plant it in our heart. Remember, when you hear the word, when you read the word, it's a seed that's being sown and it's setting right on top of the heart. It doesn't go in immediately, does it? Like I talked about. So what we have to do is meditate on that seed of what you're hearing. We have to meditate on it, and that plants the word in our heart. The goal of planting that seed of the Word of God is to grow roots. We want that seed. When we meditate on what you're hearing, what you learn, when you meditate on that, the whole purpose of that is for it to go in our heart, grow roots, meaning it should positively affect every area of your life. And what's the main goal I talked about? To become more like Jesus. That's the point of the seed of the word growing roots on the inside of you. Again, so the way we take hold of the seed of the word is to meditate on it, all right? To consistently keep it, say consistently. Consistently keep it in our thought life until understanding comes. I guarantee you, if you're praying about it, you're getting into the word, you're meditating on that thing, I can promise you, understanding will come. Understanding will come, all right? Because you're engaging the Holy Spirit to help you in the process. Amen? Amen. So we need to consistently keep that seed in our heart, in our thought life, until the understanding comes. And of course, we keep it in our thought life, which helps, obviously, by studying the word and prayer, okay? Now, Joshua 1:8, it tells us to meditate on the word of God day and night. I don't know about you, but that, to me, I don't know if there, is there any other times in the time frame? All right? Day or night. Say day or night.
Day or night.
Why? All right? Why? Because it goes on to say this is the reason that God wants you to meditate on it. So you will become a doer of the word. You will walk in obedience to that word. So that infers then if we're not meditating on the word, the danger is this. You're not going to be a doer of it. You're going to walk in disobedience to it. Why? Because you're going to forget about it. All right? Now, so you could say, the Holy Spirit is revealing to us without saying the phrase, don't forget. He's really saying that in Joshua 1:8. He's saying, if you don't consciously think about it, if you don't consciously put in that effort, you're going to forget about it. That's the temptation, all right? And who do you think is going to help you in that process of forgetting about it? The enemy, right? All right, now, because your ability or willingness to keep the word of God in your heart or not will be the difference between you being obedient to it or disobedient to the word of God in your life. Your ability to live and walk in obedience to God on this hell-bent earth is dependent on you keeping the word of God alive and fresh in your thought life constantly. You got to there has to be a fresh inflow of the word of God constantly. All right? Y'all awake out there? Are you? Oh, you're lethargic from the heat too. I get it. Okay. Listen, your ability to live, like I said, to walk in obedience on this hell-bent earth is to keep the word of God fresh on the inside. All right? The word of God must find a home in your heart. Now, when we talk about the heart, again, we're talking about your thought life. All the thoughts that you have. Do you know? Every thought, even the thought you're having right now, is in your heart. That's your heart. When I talk about your heart, that I'm talking about your thought life, okay? So go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 real quick here. Psalm 103, I'm going to look at verses 1 through 5. Now, here's the deal. Your ability to experience the blessings and benefits of the new covenant is dependent on you knowing and not forgetting about the benefits of God. Why? Because to be able to receive the blessings and benefits, there needs to be faith. And faith begins where the will of God is what? Known. The will of God needs to be known. So you could say it this way then. Don't ever forget this. Faith is not just knowledge. Faith is knowledge that is believed. Because the enemy has knowledge. Are you following me? He's not walking in obedience. Amen? So faith is not just knowledge. It's knowledge that's believed. It's knowledge that's trusted. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. It's very popular. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And here it is. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. These are pretty good benefits, aren't they? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Notice, whoa, something just jumped out to me. Your youth will be renewed because God satisfies your mouth with what? Good things. So it must mean bad things make you age a little quicker. Is that, are you picking the? Yeah. For some reason that just jumped out to me. All right. Back to the regularly scheduled program. God tells us not to forget all of his benefits because we won't experience them if we forget. All right, why? Because you need to be able to walk in faith, you got to know some things. It's got to be fresh in your heart, all right? It's impossible to have faith for something that you're not thinking about. Oh, let me say it again. It's impossible to have faith for something that you're not thinking about, all right? Faith is alive. Faith is now. Faith is present, not past or future. Are you following me? It's present. It means this. It's present and alive in your thoughts. That's the only way. You just don't trip over. You don't have faith by accident. You have it by getting knowledge from the Word of God. And that's not even good enough because it's believed knowledge. Amen? So listen to this. There will always be a temptation. There will always be attacks from the enemy for us to forget about God's benefits. The Holy Spirit revealed this. He illuminated this to me that about one of the main remedies to not forget the Word of God. He said this. After I read that in Psalm 103, I said, Lord, give me a key. How do we not forget then? Because it's so easy to forget because we get wrapped up in life, don't we? I mean, there's some overwhelming things we come up against. And the Holy Spirit spoke this on the inside. He said, I gave my people the key in the very beginning of that psalm. Take a look at this. The very beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The cure of forgetfulness is this, to bless his holy name and to praise and thank him for his benefits. Constantly. And that, what does that do? When you thank him, when you have a heart of thankfulness, when you praise and bless him, what does it do? It magnifies his goodness on the inside. It reveals spiritual truth for us, doesn't it? I put a status on Facebook this week, and I said, a negative Christian loses sight of spiritual reality. They mean this, that you're focusing on the negative things in the natural realm, but you're not taking into account the promises of God about that problem. See, that's spiritual reality. Say spiritual reality. You got to take hold of that or you'll never walk in faith and you'll never experience the benefits of the Lord. Okay? You have to take hold of it. So when you bless his name, you're focusing, zooming in on his goodness, his faithfulness, the blessings connected to him and all the promises in his word. Our praise to God magnifies him in our thought life. Now, I don't know, you know, what I saw when I was seeking the Lord about this topic, he said you can only focus on one thing at a time. And what I seen was a chessboard or a checkersboard, chessboard, and there's a piece of the, you know, the game on the board and another piece, and I seen it move one out of the way and take its place. You can only focus on one thing at a time. Are you following me? If you want to do good at it, if you really want to zoom in on that thing, right? So our praise to God magnifies him in our thought life. It keeps him and his benefits fresh. Say fresh in our thought life. Even in the trials, even in the negative situations, when a doctor gives an evil report, we are expected to praise God. Listen to me. You got to take hold of this right now. Are you ready? You watching. Take hold of this right now. Here we go. We are expected to praise God, all right? We're not expected to praise God for all things. We're expected to praise him in all things, all right? We don't praise him for all things that we face. Why? Because the negative situations are not from him. Again, we don't praise him for all things. We praise him in all things, all situations. We don't praise God for a bad report from the doctor because that sickness and disease is not from him. Are you following me? However, it says to praise God in all things because he's part of the equation that has an answer or a promise to get over top of that thing. That's the only way. That's why. That's why you praise him in all things, not for all things. All right? Now, so there is a major difference. Again, meditate upon it yourself. There's a major difference in praising and thanking God for all things or in all things. Go to James 1 real quick. James 1. We're blaming God for things that he has no part of. James 1. James 1, 16 through 18. All right, here we go. Look at this. I don't know how much clearer it can get in the Word of God, okay? All right, it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of what? Lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Again, what I want you to really zoom in on is that it starts out by saying, do not be deceived. If the Word of God starts out with saying, do not be deceived, there's going to be a temptation to be deceived. That's all you got to say. There's always, when God tells you that, that's when you really got to lock in and say, okay, I want God's plan on this thing. Now I need God's mind on it, not my fleshly mind, right? All right? So don't be deceived into thinking that God is putting a sickness or a disease in your body. Don't be deceived into thinking that God wants you to live in poverty. All right? Don't be deceived into blaming God for the bondages and junk in your life. All right? That's junk is from the kingdom of darkness. Don't blame God. Don't blame God for the bad things that happen in your life. It's not from him. Amen? You're coming against the wrong one. You're blaming the wrong one. Because it says every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And no variation, it means this: God is not going to change his mind. If he said he's the healer, he's the healer. He's not going to change his mind. Amen? He's not going to do it. You got to come to this point. Our Heavenly Father, you could say it this way, is consistently good. Yes. He's consistently good. You must believe and meditate on that spiritual truth, that spiritual reality. We belong to and we serve the Father of lights, not the Father of darkness. Amen? Come on, somebody. We've been translated. We have a new address now. Amen? We got new keys. Amen? The Holy Spirit put that in the Word of God for us to meditate on, for us to really think about, all right? To keep in our thought life. So we would have, ready? Right thinking and not wrong thinking. Kenneth E. Hagin has a book. It's called right thinking and wrong thinking. There's right and wrong thinking. That's where you got to ask yourself on any given topic in the Word of God. Am I thinking right or am I thinking wrong? It's one or the other. It's one or the other. Amen? So we need to distinguish between what's from God and what's from the enemy. If it's from God, receive it. If it's from the enemy, you better fight it with faith with everything you have. And don't let go. Amen? Now, so the moment we forget that truth about our Heavenly Father, we short-circuit our faith. We short-circuit our faith. And now we're a punching bag for the kingdom of darkness in our life. All right? Why? Because that shield of faith is removed. Now you're running around without the armor on. Okay? So don't ever forget or question. Don't ever question the goodness of God, the integrity of God, the faithfulness of your Heavenly Father, all right? Let me say it again. There is something more dangerous than a lack of understanding, and that is forgetting about the Word of God, forgetting what the Word says, all right? Let me refresh your memory. A lack of understanding, yeah, it's not good, but you don't have to stay in that place. See, a lot of people, they want to stay in that place. They want to stay in that place, and they don't want to put the effort in to come to the knowledge of the truth of that thing. You got to put in an effort to figure out the truth of a given topic in the Word of God. Amen? A lack of understanding can be corrected by effort, by you praying, by you getting into the Word, and simple study of the Word. But you're going down a very slippery slope of the enemy when you forget the Word. All right? Listen to this. The word forget is defined as this. The word forget is defined as this: to put out of one's mind. It's a soul problem. Your soul is mind, will, and emotions. All right? So it's a mind issue. You're putting it out of your mind. You allowed something to replace that thing, all right? Just like that checkers board or chess board, you replaced a thought. You had a thought, you replaced it with something else. And there's a danger in that, especially when it's the wrong thinking, amen? Now, one of the main focuses of or functions of the Holy Spirit, Jesus referred to, it's very powerful. Go to John 14 real quick. John 14, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about it in John 14, 23 through 27. John 14, 23 through 27. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me." Verse 25. "The things I have spoken to you while being present, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper," say Helper, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things," and here it is, "and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my word. If you don't love me, you won't keep my word. In other words, you're not going to be obedient. But don't just take it as that. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let's dig a little bit deeper what Jesus is saying. Think about this. He's talking about being an obedient doer of the word, obeying his commands. You agree with that? But don't just stop there. Remember, our obedience to the word of God is in direct proportion. Ready? To us remembering and retaining the Word of God in our thought life. Now, here's what I want to say. Jesus is saying this: if you love me, you will remember and retain my Word in your thought life. And you will do it. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in this church right now. Again, Jesus, he's saying, if you love me, you will keep my word. He's talking about keeping, meaning being obedient. But Joshua 1:8 said, meditate on the word day and night. Why? So you will be a doer of it. You forget it, you're not going to do it. You do it, or you remember it, you're going to do it. You getting it? So part of your love of Jesus includes this: thinking about him on a regular basis in the Word of God. How often do you think of the Word of God? How often do you think of Jesus? Now, well, you heard of the saying, out of sight, out of mind, right? All right, that's a true saying right there, right? And that's why the Word of God even gives instructions. It says, keep the Word of God in front of you, in front of you. Okay, now, real quick, go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So again, let me just say it again. Because I'll be honest, I never heard that before. It's common sense. But what I'm saying is I just never heard that before. Like, point it out. Part of your love for Jesus means you're going to think about him and remember what he said. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Makes sense. Again, let's take it back to the natural. If you love someone, do you think about them a lot? Same with Jesus, right? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, remembering, retaining according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, in my thoughts, that I might not sin against you. Now, I'm trucking right through this thing. Listen, so we cleanse our way by taking heed or not forgetting about the word of God, all right? Now, that means that if we don't retain the word in our thought life, there's no cleansing going on. We're probably going to get in the mud somewhere down the road, right? So we must fill, okay? We must fill and hide the Word of God in our heart. So when we are faced with a temptation, when we're faced with that temptation to sin, anybody been tempted lately? Oh, you liars. Listen. we can remember the Word of God and overcome that temptation, all right? Filling our heart with the Word of God, here's what it does. Are you ready? It keeps our conscience tender. Oh, the conscience is like the voice of our born-again spirit. When you're getting ready to do something, when you're getting ready to do something you know is wrong, how many of you know it's like, oh, you know you shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing it. When you get into the Word of God is a conscience tenderizer. It keeps it tender, okay? And the Word of God strengthens us spiritually. How many of you know there are only two ways to your heart? Two ways. Two gates, let's say, to the heart, and that's through your eyes and through your ears. We must hear the Word of God, and we must read it for it to fill our heart, to fill the heart tank. Amen? Amen. Now, back to John 14. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit our helper, all right? There will be times in your life when things seem extremely overwhelming and we get focused on the storm rather than on the promises of God. It's probably just going to happen. Don't condemn yourself. It's going to happen, right? This is when the Holy Spirit steps in as the helper. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance everything he has spoken. Now, how many of you know Jesus is the Word of God? He's not just talking about things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, Jesus is the living Word. So what he's saying is the Holy Spirit's going to bring to your remembrance any promise, anything from the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, anything that will help in the situation you're facing in your life. You getting me? Now, Jesus said he will bring to our remembrance everything that Jesus has spoken, all right? And then what's interesting, after Jesus says what the Holy Spirit's going to bring to our remembrance, the Word of God, guess what Jesus starts talking about after that? Peace. Say peace. Anybody need peace in here today? So you could infer this then. Keeping or remembering the word of God will impart and restore peace back into your heart. Remember, Jesus said, I'm not giving peace the way that the world gives it. You know, you still might go through some issues here, obviously. You're going to go through some issues, but in the midst of it, I'm going to give you strength and peace that carries you out through to victory. Amen? So if there's a lack of peace in your heart, listen to this. If there's a lack of peace in your heart, this is what the Holy Spirit was showing me. If there's a lack of peace in our heart with whatever we're going through, all right? I know this is easy to say, but I'm telling you, this is the truth. It's just the truth. I'm not slapping anyone in the face. We've all been there. If there's a lack of peace in our heart with whatever we're going through, there is a lack of the Word of God in our heart, in our thought life. That's fresh. Are you following me? Because Jesus said his peace would be attached to the Word of God. It would be attached to it. All right. And so what's the Holy Spirit bringing to our remembrance? The Word of God. What's attached to the Word of God? Peace. Peace and strength. All right. You could say it this way. It's a failure to meditate on the Word of God to draw strength from it in that period of time with whatever you're going through. All right. A lack of focus on the Word of God is a lack of the Word of God, again, in that time frame of when that lack of peace is experienced. All right? Have you ever had that where something happened and all of a sudden, man, there's no peace at all? And then all of a sudden, a scripture, a promise comes to your remembrance. And all of a sudden, it settles you down. Wow. Yeah, God's got this. Right? Have you ever experienced that? What was happening is the Holy Spirit was helping you shift your focus back on the Word, all right? But just because you filled your... this is what we got to understand about this whole thing, right? Just because you filled your heart with the Word of God a month ago or even a few days ago, it doesn't mean that it will positively affect you right now in this present situation. Why? Because it must stay fresh in your thought life. You got to keep it fresh, all right? There needs to be, don't ever forget, remember I said we're leakers. We leak. That's why we got to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit, not constantly baptized with. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time experience. But we got to constantly what? Be filled. Why? Because we leak. All right? So there needs to be a constant inflow of the Word of God to positively impact you. Like someone spoke today, fresh manna. We need fresh manna. Amen? Who was that? Oh, my wife. Oh, wonderful. Brownie points. Okay. Think about it this way. Do you think one meal a week is going to keep you healthy? Do you think it's going to benefit you spirit or your health? One meal a week? No, not at all. So why do we think one meal from the Word of God a week is going to keep us spiritually healthy? It won't. All right? Listen to this now. So the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance the Word. The word remember, look at this, is defined as to be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of someone or something that one has seen, known, or experienced in the past. Let me say it again. The word remember is defined as to be able to bring to one's mind an awareness. Say awareness. Awareness. It's all about awareness. Bring in an awareness of someone or something that you have seen, known, or something that you experienced sometime in the past. All right? So this definition reveals that we cannot remember something that we first didn't experience or know in the past. Why is it so important to get into the Word of God? Because the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance. This is the very tool that the Holy Spirit's going to bring to your remembrance. So you got to get it on the inside of you. You got to keep it fresh. And this is the tool the Holy Spirit's going to bring up. When you run into a situation that is beyond you, the Holy Spirit's going to open that file cabinet and pull out a verse because you read it before. And he's going to say, use this. And that's your key. That's your, what we call the rhema word. That's the spoken word when the Holy Spirit is giving you a right now word for the exact situation at the present time. Amen? So listen to this. It was something that the Holy Spirit showed me. He said David couldn't grieve over the lack of the presence of God unless he first experienced the presence of God. Right? How could David be so grieved about it if he had to experience it? He knew the difference between the presence of God and not having the presence of God. Amen? So we must constantly or consistently feed on the Word of God. We must know the Word of God from sometime in the past, okay? You got, that's why it's important. Just, you know, even read the Word through in a year. Do that. Just get it in there. You got to get it in your heart, all right? It's not going to impact your life until you get it on the inside of you, all right? During those stressful and challenging times when your focus gets shifted off the wrong thing, the Holy Spirit is going to bring that verse to your remembrance. Now, listen to this. The Holy Spirit spoke something to me as I was writing this message. He said, when going through a trial that has a strong pull on your focus, he said this, ask me for help and become sensitive to what I speak and reveal to you. Pay attention to the thoughts that flow through. He said this, I will always reveal the key to victory. He said this, I will never turn you down when you seek me for help. I remember some things I've gone through, and you do it in the flesh because you forget. You forget, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, yeah, I got the Holy Ghost in me. Lord, how do I handle this situation? I kid you not, it always works out. The moment that I give that invitation to him, when I ask him, he's waiting for that invitation, right? So you got to give him that invitation, and you watch, and be sensitive to the thoughts that flow. Be sensitive to the people, the wisdom that someone might be trying to give you, right? Because how many of you know the Lord uses people? He might even use people you don't like, right? And sometimes that's a test, because he's saying, can you hear my voice within their voice? Amen? Now let's go back to Matthew 13, 22. So Jesus said two things will make the seed unfruitful, all right? He said this, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, what Jesus was saying, that these two things, if focused on, will cause you to do this. Ready? Forget the Word of God. It will cause you to forget the Word of God. It will cause you to forget what was spoken to you in a sermon. It will forget what you just read in the Word of God, right? And it will become unfruitful. How many of you know he's talking to Christians? He's not talking to the world in here, right? Now, I want you to notice something jumped out to me in that, okay, the two things. Listen to this. I want you to notice that Jesus said the cares of the world. Ready? Not the cares of this life. That never got illuminated or jumped out to me before. Listen, let me say it again. I want you to notice that Jesus said two things. The first thing, the cares of this world, not the cares of this life. What's he talking about? He's talking about the evil, unrighteous, and sinful world system. Those are the things that are going to pull you away, right? So he's talking about the world system. Say world system. Now, these are the two main areas of a distraction that the kingdom of darkness will use to shift your focus off of God and his word. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it, but when you have time, go to Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 14. And it talks about how, you know, when the children of Israel, when they become rich, when they have stuff coming in, all right, that God says, he gives them a warning. He says, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God. Be very careful. The deceitfulness of riches, right? The deceitfulness of riches can cause your heart to be lifted up with pride and cause you to forget God, and it makes you think that you're the one that got it yourself. Now, here we go. Ready for this? Ready for this, truth bomb? What starts off as a blessing in your life can be turned into a curse if you forget about God in the process. What starts off as a blessing can be turned into a curse if you forget God in the process, all right? So be very careful in your thought life to be very careful and always keep him at the center. Always be cautious to thank him always. Be thankful. Praise him for everything you have. Amen? The enemy will always try to distract us. I used the phrase last week that the enemy will always try to capture your focus. He'll always try to capture your focus and shift it away from God and the Word. Now, you know, I got some truth bombs that you probably have never heard behind a pulpit, so hold on here, all right? Another reason the enemy tries to shift our focus is that our spiritual eyes, this isn't it, is our spiritual eyes or ears are negatively affected, okay? Meaning that when you shift your focus off God and His Word, our discernment is not as sharp. You can't hear from, you can't be led as sharply from the Holy Spirit as if you kept His Word and Him in your thoughts. Amen? Now, are you guys doing all right out there? Oh, good. Okay, now, here we go. So there are a lot of dynamics going on spiritually when the enemy is trying to attack us, all right? He's trying to capture that focus, trying to put it off into the negative aspect. Now, here, this is something, I don't know if you heard this or not, but there are health issues. I want to talk about some health issues that will affect your focus and memory. We're talking about remembering the Word of God. We're trying to keeping the Word of God retained in our thought life, which means our focus. So focus and memory. I want to talk about just a couple of health issues that the enemy promotes in our life that can affect those two things. If our focus and memory is so important, who do you think is going to come against it? The enemy, right? So there's a lot of dynamics going on spiritually when the enemy is trying to attack us here. Number one, our diet is an important part of our life, and we need to give more attention to it, don't we? We all do. Amen? Now, depression. Say depression. This one is huge. Depression can negatively affect our ability to focus and our memory, all right? If you have depression going on, there is a focus problem, and it's gonna mess with your memory. Now, it's interesting that the Word of God talks about a demon, a spirit of heaviness and confusion, all right? So you know who's behind that depression, right? The enemy, right? Now, here's an area that demons in the kingdom of darkness will attack because they know how important it is to your physical health and your mental health. Are you ready for this? The enemy, this is the Holy Spirit illuminated this so much to me in this message. The enemy is always going to try to attack the length and the quality of your sleep. Anybody have any problems sleeping lately? The length and the quality. You ever sleep for like 8-10 hours? You wake up, you should be alert, you should be good, and you're like, I feel like I didn't sleep at all. Oh, listen to this now. The enemy will always try to attack the length and the quality of our sleep. I did some research online about the leading cause of forgetfulness. And what I found was actually pretty shocking. I guess I didn't expect this to be the leading cause of it. Are you ready? The leading cause of forgetfulness or lack of focus is the length or the quality of your sleep, of your rest. I got some information from some very well-known studies, research from some popular colleges on this topic. One said this: not getting enough sleep is the greatest cause of forgetfulness. It can lead to mood changes and anxiety, which in turn contributes to problems with memory, ready, and clarity of thought. When anxiety is present, you can't think straight, all right? Who do you think is promoting anxiety to? The enemy's going to jump on that, right? Listen to this. Another study said this: sleep is fundamentally important for both physical and mental well-being. It allows the body and the brain to rest, repair, and to, this is kind of wild, consolidate memories. Consolidate. Kind of like putting things in order. All right, putting things in order so you'll remember them. So when there's a lack of sleep, things aren't coming and getting placed. That's why you're foggy. You're foggy. You can't think straight. All right, consolidate memories, impacting everything for cognitive function and emotional regulation, to physical health and even disease prevention. All right, so the length and quality of our sleep has a major impact on our thought life, all right? Our ability to focus and our ability to remember things, all right? Which means this, it also will impact, ready? Let's go a little bit deeper now. It'll also impact our ability to hear from, be led by, and be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? The enemy doesn't want you getting rest. The enemy doesn't want you sleeping, all right? All right, now, remember, operating in the flesh, being influenced by demons in the flesh, happens by default. I said, operating, being influenced by our flesh, fleshly, sinful nature or desires, right? Being influenced by demons in the flesh, because demons operate through flesh, the fleshly desires, obviously. It happens by default if you don't fight against it. If you don't go against that flow. Listen, we must focus on the Word of God and be in tune with the Holy Spirit. All right? We need to maintain a spiritual mindset and willingly go against the flow or the influence of the flesh and of the enemy. So when you're not sleeping well, when you have a whole bunch of fogginess going on, the Word is not even in your thought process. You can't even concentrate. Guess what direction you're going to go? Do you think you're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit, or you think you're going to just flow with the default of the flesh? Hello. Anybody ever noticed that before? When you haven't been getting good rest, you get a little sloppy on your spiritual life. That's the reason. That's the reason. So it became very clear to me why the kingdom of darkness attacks the length and the quality of our sleep or rest, okay? By the way, let me throw this in there. This is why alcohol is very dangerous and destructive in a Christian's life. Why? Because it weakens and it dulls our spiritual sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Hello, somebody. And it elevates the flesh. It elevates the flesh and the ability, ready for this, to be influenced by demons. Oh, come on, somebody. Am I hitting a sacred cow here? Come on. Right? It elevates the flesh, alcohol. It elevates the flesh, the ability to be influenced by demons. So guess what? My advice, stay away from alcohol. There's nothing good about it. In fact, you know, why do people drink alcohol? Because they want that buzz. Oh, yeah, I had a little problem today. I'll drink a little bit. And now, everything's great. No, it's not. It's still going to be there when you come back. Are you following me? It attacks our focus and control over our life. The Holy Spirit has no influence over us when we're consuming alcohol. Are you following me? Rodney Howard Brown. Rodney Howard Brown, he said one day, he goes, a long time ago in his walk, he walked into a party store and he was going to get, he said even, it was like a non-alcoholic drink. And he opened the refrigerator and he went like this, and the Holy Spirit checked him and said, he goes, it's either that or me. And he said, thank you, Holy Ghost. There's nothing good with alcohol. In fact, now they're saying alcohol is the cause of cancer in a major way. In fact, it kills brain cells. And listen to this. I heard someone even this week on TV say this. Someone said this. Alcohol is a very well marketed, ready? Poison. That's all it is. It's poison. Stay away from it. A Christian has no business I'm telling you right now, I know it. I just feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost right now. A Christian has no business drinking alcohol. Stay away from it. There's nothing good in it. Amen? Look how many lives it's taken on the road. Amen? Now, the enemy attacks our sleep. Again, have you ever laid down and all of a sudden, you lay down and you're like, oh man, I'm so tired. And all of a sudden, every thought of what you need to do within the next 2 years rolls through your thought life. Everything. And before you know it, you're sitting there thinking about everything and you roll over and you look at the clock and it's 2 a.m. That's the enemy throwing fiery darts. Why? Because the enemy is trying to interfere with the length and the quality of your sleep. All right? Now, I'm almost done. Hang with me. How about anybody have any evil dreams, nightmares? Dreams and nightmares, night terrors, they call them too. All right? They affect the length and the quality of your sleep, don't they? There's sometimes I'll have a warfare dream, and I wake up, and I'm running in this dream or something, and I wake up, and it literally feels like I ran a marathon when I woke up. What's going on? The enemy's trying to hinder and stop the length and or the quality of your sleep. So the kingdom of darkness is very simple. Here's the game plan of the enemy. They want to wear Christians out. They want to wear you out so you cannot think clearly, that and your brain and body can't rest, and they hope that it will eventually open the door to depression, all right? They hope it'll open the door to a lack of spiritual awareness to the Holy Spirit. They hope that it will eventually open you up to sickness and disease in your life, because they come for one reason: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's an attack from the inside out. From the inside out, all right? So it's no surprise the Word of God has promises in connection to sleep, all right, that we should be confessing. Real quick, let me run through a couple of these short ones. Psalm 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, 2. A Christian has no business drinking alcohol. Nope. Yeah, but doesn't it say, stay away from it. Stay away from it. It has nothing good in it. I'm telling you, right? Oh, but you're just being religious. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. You heard it right here at Living Waters Chapel. Stay away from it. Psalm 127, 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives, here it is, his beloved sleep. God is telling us this, that it's worthless to wake up early, to stay up late, worrying about everything in your life that you have no control over. Don't allow the enemy to influence you, to fear and worry. It says that God gives his beloved sleep. You got to trust God. You know what? You do what you can do according to the Word. You do what you can do and you pray about it. Then close your eyes and get some good sleep. Amen? Now go look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 real quick here. Proverbs 3, 21 through 24. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. Here it is. This is what you got to claim right here when you go to bed. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Now, if God's saying, giving us a promise like that, who's going to attack you? The enemy's going to attack your sleep, okay? So the context of this passage is getting wisdom getting understanding from the Word of God and not to forget about it. Let it not depart from your heart. Let it not depart from your eyes. You will then lay down and your sleep will be sweet, all right? It's talking about your faith and trust in God, right, in His Word, and it releases, again, peace. Now, what else did Jesus say would increase our faith and connection to prayer and trusting Him? I talked about it a few weeks ago. Fasting. Say fasting. Yeah, that's an F word you don't like, right? I get it. Fasting increases the influence of our born-again spirit over the negative influence of our flesh, okay? Fasting also sharpens your focus because it helps your brain and your body to detox all the junk, all right? That's another thing about alcohol. It's a toxin. It's well-marketed poison. Wow, I'm riding this horse pretty good, aren't I? I am. I'm riding this. I feel very strongly about it. I really believe that. If you're serious about God, leave alcohol out of the equation. If you're serious about God. Now, fasting, by the way, also helps us to sleep better. How many of you know, have you ever had this where you go to bed hungry and you sleep like a baby? It's like you go to bed hungry and you sleep. But if you go to Taco Bell, like I did this last week, and you pig out before going to bed, how many of you know you're tossing and turning like a wave in the ocean, baby, all night? And then you wake up and it's like, oh, I feel horrible. So there's something about fasting. It'll even help you sleep better. Hey, go to bed hungry. Go to bed hungry, right? Now, so Jesus knew that fasting was beneficial for many areas of our life, right? So the enemy, I'm on the last page. The enemy is very strategic, and I got 4 minutes. Hey, what are you guys complaining about? The enemy is very strategic, okay? So here's what you got to remember about the enemy. Ready? Here we go. They make small moves to achieve a bigger agenda. They make small moves to achieve a bigger agenda in your life. Don't allow them to succeed. Amen? Part of the protection against the enemy is simply this. Consistently fill your heart and thought life with the Word of God. Don't forget it. Stay focused on it. Praise God, thank Him, have a heart of thankfulness, and combine it with prayer. 3 John 2 says this, "Beloved, I pray or wish that you may prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul or your mind prospers." So the goal of the enemy is simply this. Are you ready? And he does it little by little by little. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to afflict your soul, your thought life. They want to afflict, they want to weaken your thought life, all right? They want to weaken your mind because that will negatively affect every area of your life, including your physical health. It will affect your physical health eventually. So the prospering of your soul means that your mind is renewed with the Word of God. You start to think differently. You start to have God thoughts. The Bible, what's a book? A book is a book, my book that I wrote, it's my thoughts on paper. What's the Bible? It's God's thoughts on paper. So when you read it, when you hear it being preached, God's heart and thoughts are being imparted into your thought life. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So here we go. So church, we are called to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. Do not forget the Word of God and all of His benefits for you. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Forget not. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. And go dump your alcohol down the drain. Hey, prayer team, come on up. Prayer team, come on up. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Don't leave this place. Remember I talked about recently that tug being on your heart. You feel that tug. Listen, God is not the reason that you had bad experiences in your life. He's for you. He's not against you. Amen. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, come on down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Now, if this message pricked your heart, and you feel backslidden, you feel like, wow, I haven't had that consistent flow going of the word into my heart, but today I want to make that change. Come on down and just tell them. Say, hey, this message pricked my heart, and I'm going to start today, and I'm going to have that constant inflow happen because I don't want to forget what God said. I want to experience all the blessings that God has for me. Now, if you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, come on down. We want to pray over you for that as well. If you need prayer for anything else, family member, yourself, come on down, and they'll pray with you. So everyone have a great day. Be careful out there. It's really hot, isn't it? It's really hot and muggy, so try to stay around some air conditioning. Amen? Drink some good ice water. All right. Hey, I love you all. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.